Welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast, where we discuss all things faith, family, and fun. I'm Andrea Emerson, here with my husband and co-host, Joplin.
Well, welcome to our show. It's good to be here today. Thank you for listening. And we have a good show lined out for you today. We're going to discuss parenting, raising boys and girls in a culture like ours. I'm going to answer the question of, what is the Sabbath? Should we still be keeping it? Is it on Saturday or Sunday? And we're going to finish with some fun topics. Andrea had a birthday this week, and we're going to talk about what it was like to have a birthday in the quarantine. And if I understand right, there are a host of national holidays that's going to make this week awesome. So
that's right.
Let's get straight to it. Andrea, we want to talk today about parenting. Between the two of us, you and I have 45 years of parenting experience. We have a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and that is 45 total years of raising kids. And so today, I just want to take a little bit of time to talk about raising children, get some of your tips and pointers to parents. And I think the first thing that I want to ask today, you know, looking back on it all, what do you wish you knew then that you do know now?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say, when you say it that way, it makes us sound super old.
And we're not super
old.
And I'm
like,
we're not
even
45.
Not even 40, so I just thought I'd add that in there. I'm not old.
She had to get that in there since I mentioned she had a birthday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not even 40, but she will not be able to say that next year. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, and we are kind of old. We're getting older. No?
We're not.
We're not.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, if I had anything that I wish that I knew a long time ago, I would just, first of all, I think raising children kind of breaks up into two categories. That's young versus old. That's kind of how I've seen it throughout the years. And younger kids are a lot of work, and they're a lot of hands-on, and you sometimes feel like you're never going to get this free moment, and then as they get older, life changes, and there's just a whole lot more things that you worry about, and a lot more freedoms that the kids have that you kind of deal with, and I would just say overall that parenting is hard, and sometimes when you're young and you're getting ready to have kids for the first time or the second time, and you haven't experienced those things that life has brought as they get older, you don't realize how hard it's going to be. And so it is hard, and I think going into it sometimes expecting it to be a little bit hard probably would have made it a little bit easier for me. And it's not all hard, but there are hard times.
If you could say anything to parents today, and they just take it, believe it, live it, put it into practice, what would you want to tell parents today?
I would just have to say that it's good to just embrace it all, and that the good, the bad, the happy, the all of it, just to learn from it and let God use it. And there's a lot of things that, you know, as parents, we probably would wish that we wouldn't necessarily have to go through. But I've just seen how God sometimes needs children to go through that. He needed me when I was younger to go through certain things because it molded me into who I was. And I see that same thing happening in our kids' lives, that it's molding them and shaping them. And sometimes I even think that God is using something in their life to maybe even protect them from a choice that could be even worse, and that he'll use these different things. And so those are some of the biggest things that I've learned. I would have to say, overall, prayer, that it is the number one thing, whether kids are little or whether they're big or medium, just all different sizes, that the faster you learn to hit your knees and pray about things, the bigger God can work, and just shows you that he's there right in the midst of it. And I've seen God work in so many different ways through so many different circumstances where he's used it all. He's used the good things to shine light on himself. He's used the bad things to shine light on himself. And the prayer makes a huge difference, and it's so important.
I'm going to throw a little curveball at you. I have one more question that I wanted to ask, and we had some time to prepare before this podcast just to talk about and think about, you know, this topic of parenting and what we want to talk about today. I have a question that just kind of came to me in the middle of your just sharing with us there. The question is, how would you define the goal of parenting? You know, I think sometimes we come into our first, you know, as being a parent and the children are still babies and they're infants and, you know, you're just thinking about taking care of them and feeding them and helping them survive. But as the years progress and parenting becomes more diverse, how would you define the goal when you think about what you want to accomplish as a parent? What is the goal? What does it become? That's the first part of the question. What is the goal of parenting? And then number two, how has coming to see that goal impacted what you do as a parent?
I would say the goal is to raise these incredible human beings that most importantly love God. And that if they can learn at a young age that God is life, and that if they will put Him first in everything, if they will seek Him, if they will build their life around putting Him first and serving Him, everything will fall into place. And so I would say that's my number one goal.
And how do you do that?
To have my kids.
Great goal.
Love the Lord.
How do we do that? What have you done? What have we done to do that?
Just what I have done, what we've done is taken God's word and help them to learn it. You know, as they were younger, we read them Bible stories. We teach them stories, have some discussions with them after services as to what they learned and what exactly that means, and just help to see if they understand it. And so those are some of the things. Then as they've gotten older, it looks a little bit different. We encourage them on their own to be seeking God. We encourage them on their own to study. And I would, even as they've gotten older, the kids have faced different things, and I've just encouraged them to pray, whether it's a friendship or whether it's a sport or whether it is where they're supposed to be going right now with a job or with school or this or that. And so really encouraging them to start building their own faith and start establishing those things on their own. And so that's what the goal is to help them succeed for Christ. And if they do, it doesn't matter what they do in life. That'll make me happy.
Well, you've done a terrific job of it. I've been blessed to watch you parent our kids now for 45 years total. She hates it when I put it that way. But I have been blessed to watch you as a parent. And I think you do as good a job as anybody I've ever met doing those things, modeling what Christ looks like to our kids, helping our children see that faith can be fun. It's not all dry. It's not all boring. In fact, when it's real and it's authentic, it's very fun. And it's anything but dry and boring. And you've given our kids something to hunger for and want to be. So I've been honored to walk alongside you and see how you do what you do as a mother.
Oh, it was nice. There's been a lot of learning. What about you? What are some of the things that you wish you would have known earlier on?
I agree with your first thing you said. The parenting's hard, and you know, you got to be gracious towards others, and then gracious towards yourself. You know, I sort of come from a personality where I want to find the solution or the best system and just put it in a place. And what I found out is that doesn't. Every child's different. It doesn't work in parenting. You can't have a model that works across the board for every one of your children. You've got to adapt and deal with them differently, and that's hard. But parenting's hard, and I needed to learn that early on, that, and I wish I would have learned it sooner than I did, that not only is it hard, but because it's hard, you got to be gracious to yourself. You know, you can't, we, especially young parents, have this false expectation of what parenting is going to be like and how perfect their kids are going to be and how spiritual their kids are going to be and how loving and kind. And listen, we have great kids, but the fact is kids are human beings that take time to develop. And and they need a lot of help and a lot of love and a lot of grace along the ways. And parents need to be, they just need to know that it's hard. Something else that I wish I would have learned earlier on is that time cannot be recaptured.
Yes.
And when a day is gone, a day is gone. You'll never have it back. And so I think especially as a man, early on in our marriage and parenting, you know, I was trying to develop our ministry, career, and a lot of the things I was doing were good. I wasn't a bad father, I don't think, or husband. But looking back on it, I would have spent more time just being, just enjoying life. And instead, I was constantly stressing about finances and everything else and the future when you never even know if you have the future. And so I wish I would have known that time would pass much faster than I thought it would. And I wish I would have captured a little more of it than I did. And something else that I wish I would have known back then is that God loves my children. God loves our children more than we do. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's important, when you really get a hold of that principle that God loves your kids more than you love your kids, it does make it easier to rest a little bit and know that while I can't control everything, I can't see everything that's going on, I can't be involved in every situation, I just can't be there every single time our kids are facing, you know, whether they're being bullied or whether they're being pressured or whether they're just in a bad situation. As parents, you want to be there. You want to fix it all. And when I wish I would have learned earlier on that God was there, even when I wasn't, and that he loved my kids more than I do. And so that gave me a sense of peace coming to see that. And I wish I would have learned that more, much sooner.
Yes. Yeah. What about if you could tell parents anything that you've learned over the years that they would take and apply, what would be the thing that you would
say? Well, talk with your children. And I learned, I don't know, maybe when our girl, so I, like I said, our oldest girl is 17. When our children started turning 11, 12, 13 years old, I learned you couldn't just ask them how things were going anymore. You ask my 8-year-old, how was school? And you better have a good 6 minutes. Because he will tell you nonstop without breathing. You won't even get a chance to insert a question, follow-up question of any sort. You ask him how school went, it's an 8-minute story, and that only gets you through, you know, the first event of the day. But once the kids get older, that stops all of a sudden. And what I found was I had to be persistent about asking pointed questions. And listen, your children want to hear from you. They want to talk with you, but they need you as the parent to initiate it. And sometimes you got to get specific. How's school? How's it going with this friend? What classes are you struggling with? And just ask, are you guys dealing with any pressure?
Yes.
Is it hard this year? Is this season, you know, is this semester harder than last? And I got to where I would ask questions that forced my kids to say something specific. And I just think it's really important that we do everything within our power to maintain open dialogue with our children. It's not enough to say, hey, we're always here for you. If you want to talk, let us know. You need to say that. But if that's all you ever say and you expect your 14 and 15-year-old to come and talk to you directly every time something's going wrong, it's not going to happen. You have to keep asking. And so talk with your kids.
It goes back to two. Every kid's different.
Yes.
So you might have one of your kids that is willing to come tell you everything. And then you got one that you kind of got to pry. But if you don't pry, you'll never know. And they do need that. So it's good.
Something else that I would tell parents is that, you know, this is controversial in that in the years past when I've tried to share this with parents, they're terrified to do it. But just consider the principle, and that is that we are raising children to become adults. That's the goal. We want to raise our children to grow up, to be God-fearing, good citizens in this society that love God, honor God in the way they live, and become good adults. But the way most parents parent their children is they treat them like their children until they're 18. And then all of a sudden, it's like, go out and live your life. And a lot of our kids are leaving the home at 18, 19 years old. And they go through 2 to 3 years of just insane living because their parents never took the time to actually teach them and train them how to live in the real world. Mm-hmm. Well, the only way to do that is to put them in it. And to help them while they're young learn how to handle, how to function in this culture. Mm-hmm. The scary thing about that as a parent is you know that means occasionally they're going to make wrong decisions.
Yes.
But that's part of being adult, is making decisions. And if we don't ever allow our children into a life of having to make decisions, then they're going to make major mistakes when they're out of the house. And I would rather them make those mistakes when they're in the house so that we can talk about them, work through them, help them process the conflict of, you know, being in the world but not of the world. And so, we are raising children, and our goal is to raise them into young adults. And so, and the last thing I'd say on that is, guys, you've got to remember that God loves your children more than you do. And remembering that for me made it easier for me as my kids began getting older to give them freedom to make choices. Even if I didn't agree with every choice they made, I understood that if I am going to be raising these young adults to become adults that make good decisions, I have to allow them to make certain decisions, mm-hmm. and then deal with the fallout on the back end. And all I can tell you is so far for us, our kids have made pretty good decisions. There have been times that, as is the case, I'm sure with everybody, that we wished our kids would have made a different choice. But in the end, so far I am blessed as blessed can be by what I've watched God do in our kids and how our kids are being, using the life that they have to impact the world they're in. And so, parents, I don't mean to make anybody mad, but you can't treat your kids like they're 10. You can't make all their decisions for them when they're 16, 17, 18 years old. You have got to start the process of allowing them to make decisions and helping them through it all. So that's what I would tell parents, and wished I would have had somebody to walk me through that myself. Hey, we are out of time on this side of the break, and so we're going to cut to our break here, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, and when we do get back, we're going to be talking about the Sabbath. Is it something that we still need to be practicing in this era of time? So don't go anywhere. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Hey, friends. With Mother's Day right around the corner, we have the perfect gift idea for you. Mothers are always pampering you, so on Mother's Day, you can pamper her with a gift card to South Central Massage to get a massage with Michelle. Gift cards are available in any dollar amount and good for any time of year. Gift cards can be purchased at 620 North Rock Road, Suite 150 in the Integrity Chiropractic Building. Happy early Mother's Day, moms! Welcome back from our break. We are going to get started here in just a second with a question from one of our viewers. And I was just going to end our parenting topic with one quick little saying. And that was, parents, sometimes our kids make amazing choices and they can be the best kids in the whole wide world and they still make us sick to our stomach. I was sitting here thinking to myself that my son wrestles and I sit in the bleachers every single time he does, and I just want to throw up so bad being so nervous for him. So parenting's fun. It's a roller coaster sometimes of all kinds of emotions, but it's a blast. We enjoy it. Our question today comes from Rachel, and the question is, what are your thoughts on the Sabbath? What exactly does keeping the Sabbath holy mean? There are conflicting views whether the Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday. Does it matter which day of the week you take as long as you rest one day of the week? The fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath holy. Do most people take this commandment as serious as we should? And then Book of Numbers, the Lord tells Moses that man must be stoned to death for gathering sticks on the Sabbath. The American lifestyle has so many people busy, and sometimes the Sabbath is the only day you might get to have things done, like mowing the yard. Some people are also asked to work on the Sabbath, such as firefighters. Is it a sin to do this type of work on the Sabbath? Can you clarify these questions for me?
Well, that's like 10 questions. That is like 10 questions, but they are all about the Sabbath. Wow. What a great series of questions.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Sabbath? What does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? Let's start off with what is or was the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day. It is a day of rest that is a reference, if you will, to God's day of rest. God creating everything in 6 days, then resting on the Sabbath day. And I'll probably come back to that when we ask the question of should we still be keeping the Sabbath? You know, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? So that was one of the commandments. In fact, it was one of the Ten Commandments to keep the Sabbath holy. And the Old Testament way of keeping the Sabbath holy was a day in which no physical work was supposed to be performed. It was a serious thing. The question references Moses and the law, which required someone who, you know, gathered sticks on the Sabbath to be stoned to death. And the first of all, that's Old Testament law. We shouldn't be stoning people to death any longer who don't keep the Sabbath or break any of the Old Testament laws that required extreme punishment. It's important to remember, while I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on Jewish law, Old Testament law, it is important to remember that the Sabbath is part of that Old Testament system of the Jews. And the importance of keeping that law, keeping the Jewish people holy, was something that was very different than the way that God's word applies to all of the church now. And the reason for that, there's a reason for it. The reason for that is that the law itself has been kept or fulfilled, if you will, in Christ. And this is kind of a strange statement, but Jesus is now the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And so rather than having a day of rest once a week, we have continual rest in Christ. This is why he could say, if any of you are heavy and weary laden, let him come to me and he will have rest. And so he is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. In fact, Hebrews teaches us that the Old Testament laws and systems, everything that was put in place in the Old Testament were shadows of the fulfillment of Christ, and that Christ is the substance of the shadow. So no, we don't have to keep the Sabbath in the sense of how the Old Testament people kept the Sabbath. Next, you know, is it Saturday or Sunday? Well, first of all, the Sabbath is Saturday. There's no confusion over that. However, that day set aside to worship the Lord and a day of rest does not necessarily need to be on Saturday, though it was on Saturday in the Old Testament system of law. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that the church was already meeting on the first day of the week. And so there's New Testament scriptural evidence that the church began meeting on the first day of the week, because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead, to honor the resurrection of Christ and to celebrate the resurrection of Christ on their weekly meetings. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, that really became, and still is to this day, the heartbeat of the church, that our Savior has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And when he rose from the dead, it changed things. So the church began worshiping on the first day of the week. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We don't know when it happened, only that weekly the gathering of the saints was taking place on the first day of the week. So if you want Bible evidence that that began to take place, you have it in the New Testament. Now, the last thing I want to kind of deal with on the Sabbath is the question of, do we need to be doing it? She mentions that the American lifestyle is so busy, and sometimes the you know, Sunday or the Sabbath is the only day to do housework. This is where, while I don't think we need to be legalistic about how we keep the Sabbath, I do think the principle of the Sabbath should and does remain. And when I say the principle of the Sabbath, look, if God rested on the seventh day, you are not God. I'm not God. And if he rested on the seventh day, we need to learn how to rest. And I will say this, it takes faith. Just like the tithe, anybody who's ever been a true tither and has been faithful to give the first fruit of their income, 10% of it, to God's work, anybody who's ever done it will tell you it's almost as if it just disappeared. Like it, nothing changed in our budget.
Yeah.
We were able to pay our tithe, nothing changed. And God just has a way of taking 90% that remains and stretching it out. The same principle applies with our time. You will find that if you will stop and rest and give yourself a day each week to just slow down and rest, that your productivity on the following 6 days is so much higher. I do think it's a problem, the fast-paced lifestyle that we live in America, and I do think it's a problem in the church, and I do think the principle of the Sabbath does remain. I do think that while it's not a law, and we shouldn't stone somebody because they're mowing their yard on the Sabbath, I do think that we need to learn to structure our lives in such a way that if the only time you ever have to do anything around the house is on Sunday, you need to change the way your week looks. And you need to be able to, on a Saturday or Friday or whatever day or an evening, get some of that work done. And I do think that the Sabbath, the a day a week needs to be set aside for rest and family time. So great question.
Yes.
Last thing I wanted to say was, she mentioned firefighters and people that have to work on the Sabbath. You know, even the Old Testament law gave some leeway to people that were helping others, whether it was even pulling an oxen out of a ditch on the Sabbath. You know, if somebody's in harm's way, if there is a need, the Sabbath is about rest, but it's not about, you know, not helping people. And so I do think there is a time and place that absolutely that even physical work is allowable on that day. My advice would be to somebody that has to work that day, find the another day, if you will, during the week where you can have a day of rest. So great question. I hope that that clarifies some of the questions for you and or answers for you. So good question.
Yes, thank you for asking that question. Next up on our agenda is holidays. So I did celebrate a birthday this week, and we did the best that we could here in this quarantine condition. And we did have some games. We played some fun games on Facebook Live. I don't know if some of the people caught those. Joplin didn't participate this round. He opted not to. There were some games with flour, so it was...
I was on a phone call.
Kind of messy.
I was on a really important phone call. During game time.
Yes.
This is a true story.
He was on a phone call.
It lasted a long time, and before you knew it, the games were over. It was just... bummed out. I was really bummed.
He was bummed. I don't think he was probably bummed, but we did make the best of it. And I did have an amazing cake. Yes, Kathy brought a cake and dropped it off, and it was... awesome. It was chocolate with chocolate icing, and probably gained like 10 pounds from it, but it was worth it. So it was good. It was very good.
What holidays are coming up that got you excited? Let's tell me the list of holidays.
Well, believe it or not, if you didn't know, there's like a national day of something every single day, almost of the entire year. And lately I've been looking them up, and today happens to be May 1st, and that is May Day. It's a national holiday. And if you look it up, it's been going on for years and years and years. Sometimes people use it to celebrate like the coming of spring, and they may take like May Day baskets to their neighbor's doors that are full of like flowers and leave it on their doorstep just to cheer them up. So
I am 40 years old, and I don't know that I've ever heard of this. When you said May Day, I thought, well, I heard about that when I was a boy. But that's what people would yell, like, when the plane was going down and they were going to crash. Like, May Day, okay,
well, this
May
is
Day.
A different May Day where you have, like, flowers and you can cheer people up. And it's like a celebration coming in spring. So we don't want to think about May Day that way.
Must be super popular.
That is today. Today's May Day.
Awesome. We got something to celebrate
today.
We do.
May 2nd, tomorrow, is Free Comic Book Day and National Brothers and Sisters Day. So if
Hold on. Tomorrow is 2 days?
Yeah.
Two national days. Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
How do you get a free comic book?
I don't know how you get the free comic book. But
how can
it
you
is
name
a
national
book?
Holiday something that we don't even know how to get it?
I don't know.
Okay.
But if somebody wants to come by tomorrow, I can have some fake comic books that you could come by just to
celebrate Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah,
okay.
So, and Free National Day.
What else is tomorrow?
Tomorrow's National Brothers and Sisters Day. So you know what? If you have a brother or a sister, celebrate them. It's time to celebrate tomorrow. May 3rd is National Paranormal Day. So I don't know about that one. Everybody
National Paranormal Day.
Might be a little nervous about that one. May 4th is National Star Wars Day. There is a national day. Yep. So get your lightsabers out. Have fun.
A very good friend of ours, Branson Sears. I'll bet he knows. Did you say it's the 4th?
It's the 4th.
That has to be a play on words, like May the 4th.
I'm sure.
It is.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. So
May the 4th be with you. Get it? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So National Star Wars Day.
Light
get your lightsabers
going off over
ready.
Here.
Yep. May 5th, the Cinco de Mayo.
Star Wars people are such geeks. they are such geeks.
Yep.
I love them, but they're kind of geeks.
Yep.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So National Star Wars Day is coming up. And then, of course, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo.
That's right. Yep. And May the 5th is also National Teachers Day. So if you have a teacher, you should really think about celebrating your teachers because it's National Teachers Day. And then May the 6th is National Nurses Day. And we have a lot of those.
Now that's worth celebrating.
Extra time giving, trying to help during this pandemic. So make sure on May 6th and honor those. And then May 7th, to end it off, I thought it is National Day of Prayer, which is really cool. We've used that day several years in a row.
Big day.
And yes, prayed nationally with all the people. And so anyway, we encourage you guys to do that for sure, even if you don't do the rest of these. And oddly enough, May the 7th is also National Password Day. So think
National
about all the
Password
passwords
Day.
That you have. And
how do we even
that.
Have a National Password Day? That's just dumb.
Yeah. Maybe you should just run around and tell everybody all your passwords. And,
how do you know that's a real national day? Is that posted on the national calendar? How do we get days on the national calendar? If somebody got National Password Day on the calendar, we should be able to get our own day, like National Joplin and Andrea Day, or we can name it.
Yeah.
We can name it after our dogs, which we need to have a segment on our dogs. We have to talk about our dogs next week.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds great. Because Andrea and I have a different opinion about our dogs.
Yeah.
We'll leave that one out for next week. In the meantime, you have 53 special celebrations between now and next week.
That's right.
So it's going to be a week of celebrating.
Kick your boredom out the door because you have lots of things to be celebrating.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
Well, that's all the time we've got, guys. We are going to have to run. Thanks for being with us today, and we will see you all next Friday.
Happy May Day.